thank all of you for being here, and thank you, Don, for those songs that so fitly represent what we're going to be talking about this evening. I think one of the most wonderful opportunities I personally have ever had was the opportunity of being a gospel preacher. You know, I started when I was all just a teenager. The preacher had us in young people Bible class, and he'd say, memorize this verse this week, and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. He drilled those verses of scripture into us constantly. And finally, he was going on a gospel meeting. He said, Kite, would you preach for me this Sunday? And I said, oh. And I said, yeah, I'll try. And so it lasted about 5 minutes, so I'll try to beat that in just a minute or two tonight. But anyhow, I've enjoyed it. An old preacher, an old elder came up, put his arm around me that day and said, Clyde, if you don't make a preacher, or he said, Brother Freeman, boy, that really helped me. Brother Freeman, if you don't make a preacher, God's going to hold you responsible. And so I've tried for all these years to be just what God would have me to be in the pulpit. Preaching between Josh Romo and Brother Rick Hopejoy, standing here as an old man, I hear them, and I say, boy, I'd like to say that. I'd like to say that. I wish I could have said that. You know, I'm kind of like the old Indian chief up at Wagon Mound, New Mexico. He saw that atomic bomb experiment, and he said, ooh, wished I'd have said that. But anyhow, getting down to the Bible and to the scriptures this evening, I want to share with you what I think is very, very important. And it's found in the text is found in Ephesians and also in the book of Galatians. We're going to be adding to this. He said, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And that's the reason Brother Don was leading in us those songs could call him standing on the promises and standing so forth. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And the devil is running wild right now. He said, for that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't know anything about that, do we? Spiritual wickedness in high places? I'll tell you what. It's all right for these homosexuals to marry, you know. Let's do that for them. Let's not pay any attention to Romans 1st chapter for sure. But he says, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor. Now that's the whole armor, not a few pieces missing out of your armor. You take the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand and to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And there we are again, Brother Don, the song that you were leading us to stand. Standing on the promise. Stand. Now he says, stand therefore, having your loins girded out with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the gospel, with the principalities, and the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, for which you may be able to squench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And that's the verse of scripture, but now, putting on the whole armor of God is the verse of scripture that I want us to look at. Having the helmet of salvation. And in World War II, we had these old little helmet liners, but we had the old steel helmet. We never did put them on in basic training. Didn't need them. Going overseas, what were they? They were issued to take overseas, and we were taking those with us, and boy, they were a burden to mess with. But anyhow, put on that whole armor of God, having the helmet of salvation. Now, tonight, I want us to look at what that what I think would be the best verses of Scripture that we could take it and putting on the whole shield, the whole armor, the helmet of salvation, the best that I can talk about. And I think we find that in the book of Ephesians. Well, really, I'm going to talk Galatians in the fifth chapter. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, meekness, goodness, faith. Meekness, temperance, against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another and envying one another. Now, if we put on the whole armor of God, and first I want to talk about this helmet of salvation. The helmet protects the computer of this body. I mean, everything that this mind says, or this pain that happens to our big toe, tells this mind up here, hey, I'm hurt, get a blister tape for me or something. Do something with me. And we know that our body tells us that. It may be a shoulder, whatever. But this helmet that we're to put on, the helmet that we wear, is to protect our mental thoughts and things of Christianity. Now, I turn to the book of Ephesians, and I wonder, what is the best thing that I can say to you tonight that represents to me the whole armor of God? He says, but this fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, we're going to have the Spirit of God that is our armor. Love. Oh, how we need love in the world today. Oh, I know there's a lot of songs that are written by the popular artists that make a pretense of talking about love. But what is love? I know a professor one time asked his class to write a paragraph or two on what love is. And one of the young ladies in his class, she began to write, love is a moonlit night, shining down on a pool of water, trickling around, and being out there with the one you're... Oh, he said, stop, 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 that's not love. Let me tell you what love is, young lady, the professor said. Love is a mother that hears her baby murmur in the middle of a cold night. And she awakes immediately, and she begins to take care of the needs, that wet diaper, whatever that child needs that it murmurs for. And she cares for that baby, and she warms the blanket, and she puts the baby back after having nursed him that he might sleep and go back to his comfort zone. He said, that's love of a mother. That's love. And love, as we see, and he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love. And this world needs a lot of it. But not the kind that people talk about, this couples living together and what have you. That's not love. That's desires of the flesh. And we read about that in Galatians 5 and so forth. But he says, put on the whole armor of God. And I think that is love, joy. How many of us are really happy? Are we really happy? Do we have the joy that comes with being a child of God? Knowing that God has forgiven me of all of my transgressions, and lo and behold, every one of us can look back and see those sins that are back there. And we know when we came before the preacher or whoever it might be standing there that morning and took our confession, and we were baptized for the remission of our sins. That's the joy. We come forth from that watery grave free from our transgression. No longer do we have to worry after we've heard the gospel. We don't have to worry about a damnation separated from God. To me, I tell you, I don't see how a person can ever be exposed to the love of God and turn back into the world realizing that's the end that I face. And wherefore, he says, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. I've been in a lot of congregations over the years. I've preached, three or four here in Texas and a couple of three in South Dakota and two or three in Oklahoma. But I want you to know that having that joy and peace in a congregation makes it a wonderful place to come every first day of the week, every evening, and be there Wednesday evening. And when they have those special meetings, we're there. We have the joy of being with one another of kindred minds. I want to be among Christian people. Now, I know I'm in the world, but not of the world. I have a responsibility to those of the world. I've got some neighbors that are good people. I love them. They'll do things for you. But they're not Christian. What a joy would be in my heart to have those taught, believing, repenting of their sins, confessing Christ, and having their sins washed away. I know there's people in your life that you would especially like to see come and obey the gospel of Christ and share the joy that you have. Some of us have wives or husbands that are not members of the body of Christ, and we'd love so much to see them come and be a part of my life or your life or whatever it is that it needs. But there's a joy that's in that, and I know there's a joy in those of us who are preachers. I think what I started full-time preaching in 1949. Well, you can figure up right quick how long I've been in this. And it's a joy to me to be able to stand here this evening. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Peace that passeth all understanding. That's what I have. I hope you have that peace. I hope you have the peace that passeth all understanding. It's a joy to including in that peace to know that Christ is my Lord and my Master, and He guides my steps. And though I sin, but it hurts me. It hurts me to know that I've said something to somebody or about somebody that did not do that person that I talked about any good at all. I hope that each one of us will put a real guard on our mind, and that will control your mouth about saying things about, well, these men that are selected or have been put up for you to examine in your heart and answer any question that you might have, that they might answer your question satisfactorily, and you can have that joy and that peace. And that. But anyhow, as I look at these, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. I've seen some people that, boy, they could just go on and on. They could just take things. And others got a short fuse, as we call it. You just say something about, I've got something on him. You know, that's not the way to live and be happy as a Christian. Long-suffering, goodness. Oh, what do you think of that goodness? That's the Spirit of Christ. Now, understand this. That Spirit of Christ has got to abide in my heart. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness. You know, it's got to be in me. I cannot live without it. I cannot meet God in the judgment day with all of these evil thoughts against friends, neighbors, and even those that are lost. I've got to have that long-suffering and goodness in my heart. And he says, not only adding to that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, patience, meekness. You know, meekness is such a wonderful thing. There's some animals that are meek. And that animal just really grabs our heart. There's some animals that just can't be trained. Well, they're in cages, locked up, you know, and so forth. But what about meekness among us as people? It's such a, Jesus, we sing, Jesus meek and lowly. It's a wonderful characteristic of Christ. I mean, he lived among people that despised him and hated him. And, you know, the religious people of that day, they had their ideas. And Christ, you come here with this new thought, new directions, and what I must do to be pleasing in the sight of God. And they just raise all kinds of thunder against Christ. And finally, of course, we know the end. They crucified him. Meek and gentle as our Lord was. And so, actually, we can expect maybe barbs and hurts in the meekness that we might have as Christians. But you keep that. Keep that meekness. Now, you, love, keep that. Joy, peace, keep that. That's the armor. Put on the whole armor of God. The helmet of salvation. Put on that whole armor of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Oh, we make commend ourselves on our long-suffering. And we may be just like the guy, see, you just let him open his mouth. I got something to say about him too, you know. That's not long-suffering. That's not a forgiving heart. That's not the heart of a Christian. Let's keep those things out of our mind. Forget them if you can. I know some things are hard to forget. But he says, long-suffering, gentleness. Oh, the gentleness of a newborn mother with a newborn baby. How gentle she treats that baby. We think they're breakable, don't we? I guess they're a lot tougher than we think they are. But a newborn baby, oh, we're so gentle. We bathe that baby. We cleanse it. You know, we oil its body and we powder it and we do all of these things. And we wrap it in a clean baby cloth. And, oh, how gentle we handle that newborn baby. What about we as Christians with one another? Are we gentle and kind to one another? These are the fruit of the Spirit. He says concerning this that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And these, my thinking at least, these are really good outstanding points that you and I must have. We need to be gentle against the erring child. Oh, we don't want to be harsh on a wayward child, the child of the Lord. We want to be kind. We want him to see, oh, I'm missing that. I want that kind of love. But he says also in that, this is the shield of faith. If you've got these, you've got a good shield built around you. But he says, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against all of these things that we've talked about. Now then, if we put on the whole armor of God, having our feet shod with the gospel, having the uniform that we talked about in the war, having the leggings, the everything that we had, bringing on up, having on this breastplate of righteousness, having the shield of faith, and having the sword of the Spirit in our hands. A good soldier in battle, he knows how to use his instrument. And we know how to use the instruments of the Lord. Now then, to me, that's the beautiful part of being a Christian. And we know that God is with us. He said, Lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. I've been in difficult positions where I said, what am I going to say? I've got to encounter this individual that's an enemy of Christ, and what am I going to say? I've got to win him. I don't want to hurt him. I want to win him. And I tell you, that loving, kind, tender heart. Now, we put on the whole armor of God. Now, I want to read those verses of Scripture if I can get my eyes down to look at this in the dimness of these lights we've got up here. But I want us to just read that for tonight. He says, Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. How much power does he have? He's unlimited in power. But he says, Put on the whole armor. Don't leave off part of the army. Don't leave off the helmet. Don't leave off having the breastplate of righteousness. Don't leave any of these off. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We're standing in a period of time, we're living in a period of time when the wiles of the devil are about us everywhere. You turn on the television, oh, it's evil. You get out into the community and there it is. It's terrible, the things that we have to live among. But Christians, you've got the strength. You've got the Lord on your side. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world. That's who we're fighting. We as Christians have that fight. It is a scrap, boy. You're going to come out with some scars, but you're in a fight, and it's a righteous fight. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. We look at the nation, in our own nation, we've got some things that I'm not too proud of that are kindly in my craw. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the day of judgment, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with the truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, for which you may be able to stand against all the fiery darts of the wicked. Tonight, I want you and I as Christians to go back and look at our basic standard. I want us to build our lives on that standard that God has given us here in the New Testament. All of the Old Testament was bringing us up to Christ. Christ was prophesied and they look forward to His coming and some become discouraged and quit and all this. But listen, we know that Christ came and He died on the cross. He died on the cross and the blood was shed and His blood was that which cleanses your heart and mine. It was the price that was paid that I might spend an eternity in heaven. It will be worth it all. Christ said, you know, I stand before you as God's sacrifice. And if you will follow in my steps, you can have life everlasting. Now then, as we look at the lesson tonight, what have I looked at? I've looked at things that plague our lives. The sins, the works of the flesh are manifest, sure these, adultery, fornication, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. But those who do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Tonight, as I bring this lesson to a close, I want you to think about, where do I stand tonight before God? I don't know where you stand. You're the only one. You know God's word. You know what Christ has said. You know how you confide with Him. If you have never been baptized for the remission of sins, that's something you need. If you're baptized for the remission of sins, your sins are washed away and your name is added to the Lamb's Book of Life. But you know, every one of us, we get weak at times, and sometimes our sins are greater than just my going to the Father and I want some help. I want your help. You see, I sin too. I sin also, maybe I should say. Every one of us transgress. But I want you and I to stand before God this night, pure, clean, our sins washed away, and having all sins forgiven, we can live that life that He so bids us to live. If you're subject to the invitation of Christ tonight, I want you to think about where you stand and have in your heart my desire is to serve God. I want to believe in Him, repent of my sins, confess Him before men, and have my sins washed away. If you're subject to that invitation is yours as we stand together and sing the song selected.